Box A lists the Chapter 1 goals. The first goal of this chapter is for you to learn how to create a C++ project in visualc++.net. If you are not using visualc++.net, then consult your compiler's documentation for information on creating a project. Now, what do we mean by a C++ project? A C++ project refers to a file that organizes several source code files. A source code file is just a text file in which we will write our C++ code. At the beginning of this course, we will make use of only one source code file per program, but as our projects become bigger, we will want to utilize multiple source code files for organizational purposes. The C++ project file helps keep the source code files related to our program together as a logical unit. The second main idea of this chapter is the process in which our C++ code transforms into a program that the computer can run. By program, we mean a set of instructions which the computer can execute line by line. Perhaps you already know this, but a computer works purely with binary, also called machine language, and cannot directly understand our C++ code. Consequently, a process must be applied that transforms our C++ code into binary machine language code. The third goal of this chapter is to learn some basic C++ I/O commands. I/O means input and output. This will allow our programs to display output to a console window and will allow users to input information into our programs via the keyboard. For example, we may need to ask the user to input his name or age or anything else. Input and output is fundamental to many programs, and so it's best to get familiar with these commands quite early. One thing worth mentioning at this point is that the programs we write in this course will be console applications. You will see a picture of the console window later in this lecture. It resembles a DOS-style interface. In the next course in this series, we graduate to Windows-style programs with menus and such. The courses were split in this manner because quite a bit of C++ programming experience is needed before one can write Windows programs. Our fourth goal is to learn how to use variables. You will use variables in every substantial program that you write. Loosely, a variable corresponds to a section of memory in which we can temporarily save data. Note that the memory we are referring to is not disk space, but RAM. The fifth objective of this chapter is for you to learn how to write programs that perform basic calculations. As the name computer suggests, it is a computing device that can solve computational problems. Clearly, then, learning how to program the computer to do calculations is mandatory and inherently fundamental. Finally, at the end of the chapter, there is a small exercise set which allows you to practice writing some simple programs. Before continuing on to the main ideas of Chapter 1, let us briefly highlight the key components of a computer. Box B shows a computer architecture diagram. This figure illustrates five key components of a computer: input, control unit, arithmetic unit, memory, and output. Note that the following discussion here is kept at a high level, and we avoid low-level details of the internal workings. A computer architecture course is typically where these ideas are discussed in great depth. Box C shows input and output. Input devices allow external sources to input data into the computer. Mice, keyboards, joysticks, and gamepads are common examples of input devices. However, a light sensor and sound sensor are other examples of input devices. These devices can record light and sound information, which can then be converted into a digital signal that the computer can understand. In addition, CD-ROMs, hard disks, and other permanent storage devices can be thought of as providing input data for a program. Common output devices include speakers and the monitor screen. A digital signal is sent to the speaker, causing the drum to vibrate in a certain way. Similarly, a digital signal instructs the monitor how to color its pixels. One can also view saving information to a permanent storage device, such as a hard disk, as output. Box D concerns the memory, arithmetic unit, and control unit. We will need to read and write intermediate values during the lifetime of a program. For example, data that is inputted into the program needs to be saved somewhere. Computer memory facilitates this need. Note that memory cells are organized in a sequential fashion, and each cell has an address, which the computer uses to refer to a particular memory cell. A memory cell is a string of binary digits. This string of binary digits can be interpreted in different ways. For instance, it can be interpreted as an integer number, a real number, or a character such as an alphabetic letter. The arithmetic unit can be thought of as the part of the computer that does all the mathematics-related operations, such as adding and multiplying. The control unit essentially ties all of the components together. For example, input data must be loaded into memory. Values in memory will typically need to be moved to the arithmetic unit for calculations, and then moved back to memory again. And values in memory will need to be outputted. The control unit can be thought of as the organizer of all of this.